Chapter 3. Tim didn't notice the rumbling purr of an engine or the smooth feeling of movement until they stopped. He blinked slowly and rolled onto his back, only for every nerve in his body to come alive with pain. Tim gasped and shot up, immediately regretting that decision too. His head spun so fast he thought it was going to drop straight off his shoulders. He collapsed straight backwards, landing hard on the very wounds he'd been trying to protect, sending the burning pain screaming through his body so sharp that Tim sobbed and nearly passed back out. Tim was only barely aware of a slight shake of the bench he was on at the edge of his perception as wave after wave of agony coursed through him. A hand grabbed him and flipped him quickly onto his stomach. "God damn it, replacement," the person snapped, but Tim couldn't do more than sob in desperate relief. He didn't know where he was, didn't know why he was hurt, didn't know who had him or even that they weren't the person who'd hurt him in the first place. But he could feel the firm pressure being kneaded into his shoulders, above the wounds, that grounded him and brought him back to himself. Tim closed his eyes and focused on his breath until his breathing evened out from ragged gasps to just slight shuddering. There was an exasperated sigh above him that made him flinch from reproach. "How the hell did you forget that you were whipped, replacement?"
Whipped?
That sounded right, but his head felt like it was being filled with cotton and lead at the same time, and thinking was too hard. Still, situational awareness and all that. Tim groaned with the effort it took to turn his head to the side and open his eyes to look up. The light, dim as it was, still hurt his eyes, and he clenched them shut with a gasp. That was enough situational awareness to know that his situation sucked. The hand on his shoulders stilled, then moved to his head, and the fingers wove gently through his hair, teasing out tangles and only snagging a little.
"Hey, baby bird, how are you feeling?" the voice asked, softening a bit.
"Everything hurts and my head feels like cotton and I don't know what's going on and where I am and I want Bruce and Dick and Alfred. And I want Bruce to make my dad stop hurting me every time he's mad at me. And I wish I was good enough for him. And I wish that people didn't always leave me. And Bruce will leave me eventually because he doesn't even really like me because I'm horrible,"
Tim tried to say. And a heartbroken sob is what actually came out.
"And here I thought you were supposed to be the smart one," the person said. "Do you remember what happened tonight?"
Tim frowned, which pulled at a wound on the side of his face, making him wince, which hurt his back. He bit his lip nearly enough to make it bleed in order to distract himself, then shook his head slightly when the pain felt less like red-hot irons and more like really, really hot irons. He hoped he hadn't been kidnapped by a villain, because he wasn't going to be able to defend himself at all. The hand kept carding through his hair, though, and it felt so nice. There was no way someone that kind could ever hurt him, so he relaxed and let the gentle touch continue.
"Your dad caught you coming home from patrol,"
his caretaker told him, and now that he thought about that, yes, Tim remembered that. He'd vaguely remembered it before, at least that his dad had whipped him. But it had been all blended in with all the other beatings his dad had given him, with no sense of chronology to separate it out as being the most recent. That particular beating being the latest explained the fire of whiplashes on his back and the throbbing pain where his head had been hit. Once. Twice. Hard. Tim nodded his understanding and the man went on.
"I beat him up for you, but you stopped me before I could kill him."
The man's fingers curled up into what was nearly a fist, pulling on Tim's hair just slightly by accident. He sounded very annoyed at Tim for that. Tim inhaled sharply, not remembering.
"His head was bleeding. His dad was furious. His dad was going to whore him out. There was someone attacking his dad, and he felt such mind-blowing relief before he realized that the new person was going to cave his dad's face in right there, and he was trying to pull the person off, and then..."
Tim's eyes shot open, despite the stabbing pain, just to find that face he'd seen 1,000 times behind a mask, through a lens, but so much smaller and softer. The face that looked down on him was older, older than Jason ever got to be, hard lines and sharp features with none of the lingering baby fat that gave his face that impish quality that he had wielded like a psychological sledgehammer when he was Robin. No matter how much Tim tried, he could never humiliate anyone as badly as he'd seen people humiliated when Jason destroyed them with a childlike little smirk. His eyes were green, and there was a tuft of white in his hair. Tim's heart sank a bit. He was still dreaming, then. He sighed wearily and closed his eyes. People didn't come back to life. No one had saved him from his dad, and he couldn't even remember Jason, right? It would explain how off everything felt, how heavy and swishy and stuffed his head felt all at once. He felt like Alice, in Alice in Wonderland. Everything was too big or too small, nonsense and surreal. At least if everything was a dream, then his dad hadn't really caught him sneaking in through the living room window so he could grab a snack from the kitchen on his way to his room. His dad hadn't slapped and kicked him around while screaming for 10 minutes before throwing him to the floor and demanding he strip. The jangle of his dad's belt buckle hadn't made his stomach twist in dread as he heard his dad work the belt loose of his pants. His dad hadn't slammed his head onto the coffee table and made plans to use Tim as a piece of meat he could throw at his business partners to butter them up. Unless that had all happened and Tim had just passed out from head trauma. Jason had said he was dreaming, but maybe Tim was just dead. He'd heard something about people getting a new body in heaven, which would explain why Jason looked so off. But if his dad had really been planning to whore Tim out like that, and Tim was actually going to wake up, then he might really have to tell Bruce. He thought about it before, plenty of times, but he could never quite... Bruce didn't really want him. Tim was just a placeholder, a useful annoyance who'd muscled his way into a grieving father's life and demanded that he risk reliving his recent trauma because the man would rather fight himself into an early grave beside his son than go to therapy. Even if Tim's dad did lose custody of him, it wasn't like Bruce actually wanted Tim around forever. Sure, he'd taken Tim in before, but they'd known his dad was going to wake up, so it was obviously not going to be permanent. And even then, it was just because Batman needed a Robin, and Tim couldn't be Robin in foster care. It had mattered so much more, then, that Tim could be there, though. But Bruce was steadier, happier. Dick was around more, even if things were still a bit tense, they'd figure things out. If Tim got taken by CPS now, Bruce would probably be annoyed at first to lose all that time and money if Tim went away, but he'd be more than willing to toss Tim aside and find himself a new Robin. Tim couldn't deal with that. Tim could have dealt with that, maybe, in the beginning, when he just wanted Dick to go back to being Robin again in the first place, but he couldn't deal with it now after getting to know the Waynes. He couldn't lose Dick Grayson's octopus hugs that wrapped so much around him that they counted for 3 hugs at once, or the way that Dick would just sit and talk with him like Tim wasn't just some stupid little kid, or the way Dick sometimes called Tim his little brother, even if Tim didn't really think he meant it. He couldn't lose doing homework in the kitchen as Alfred bustled around and asked him about his day, or the weird looks Alfred gave him when he thought that Tim should eat more but didn't want to say anything, or Sunday mornings when Alfred made crepes and actually sat down at the table to eat with them. He couldn't lose Bruce. He couldn't lose the way Bruce watched out for him, even if he, probably, didn't really like Tim, like when they'd taken Tim in when his dad was in a coma, or when he'd arranged his mom's funeral when people kept asking Tim questions he didn't understand, or when his dad went on business trips and Bruce ordered Tim to stay at the manor, even though Tim would be fine alone, or the countless times that Bruce had been so attentive to Tim's physical health that he'd nearly found out what his dad did. He couldn't lose those nights when Bruce was injured but wanted Tim to come over anyway so he could eat dinner with them and maybe watch a movie or just hang out. He couldn't lose those rare little hugs Bruce gave him, tentative like he was worried his arms would fall off if he put them around Tim. The way Bruce touched him was so different from how his dad touched him. Bruce, maybe he didn't like Tim, but he did care. Yet again, Tim wished that Bruce was his real dad. Even if Tim did get taken from his dad's care, that didn't necessarily mean he would go to Bruce's, even if Bruce did want him to keep being Robin. CBS didn't like placing kids with single men. They hadn't even liked placing him with Bruce the first time, but that had only gone through because his mom had just died, and Bruce had played up how important it was for a boy to be around someone who understood what he was going through at such a time in his life. Not that Bruce really got it, because he'd known exactly what to feel when his mom died, unlike Tim, who still didn't know how he felt about the fact that the woman who'd birthed him and then ignored him for 13 years was rotting in a box somewhere in the ground.
If Tim got taken from his dad because of child abuse, then it was highly unlikely that he would be placed right next door, unless his dad actually was in jail. It just wouldn't be safe, they'd think, not knowing about Wayne Manor's insane security system. And it wasn't even that bad. Not like how other Gotham kids got beaten. Certainly not enough to risk facing the unfettered jaws of the Gotham foster care system as a Bristol outsider. Besides, it wasn't like his dad wouldn't probably be able to buy Tim back no matter what, and then he'd be even more mad at Tim. No, it was better to just take the beatings and slaps and yelling when they came so he could still pretend, even if just for the few hours and days at a time that he could snatch with the Waynes, that someone cared about him in a way that really mattered. That he was more than what he did. He loved Bruce, and he never wanted Bruce to realize how much better his life would be without Tim in it to screw everything up. If his dad was going to whore him out, though, that was too much. Bruce would at the very least stop Jack. He might even get the CPS to let Tim stick around until he could find him a foster home that wasn't going to traffic him from his organs or sexual potential. Two hands, feeling warm and real, reached under Tim's arms and pulled him up slowly against a chest that felt solid and corporeal. It was so strange how real the body felt, even through the surreal haze that thinking was at the moment. Jason pulled Tim the rest of the way out of the car and up against his body. He splayed one hand on the back of Tim's neck and supported Tim's legs with his other arm, then started walking. Tim knew he should help, be something other than dead weight, but his body felt like lead, and he couldn't twitch his limbs enough to wrap them around Jason. Dream physics applied, though, so as long as he just wished for Jason to be able to carry him, then he should be able to manage it without too much trouble.
"Damn it, you're tiny, shrimp," Jason grumbled in his ear, but Tim sighed and nestled his head against Jason's shoulder.
Dream physics worked like a charm. Normally, Tim wouldn't have dared be so clingy and pathetic, but since it was a dream, surely that meant Jason wasn't going to leave him. He would have already left him if he was going to leave. In dream, Jason was so warm and comfy, even though his shoulder was a bit bony. He felt really strong, though, and he'd definitely protect him from any punishments his dream dad could throw at him. He kind of felt like Bruce, but his hug was more confident.
Jason's face, Bruce's body, and Dick's hugs.
An amalgamation of his heroes, there to rescue him. A smile tugged quickly at Tim's mouth before exhaustion melted it off his face. Of course, when he actually died and met Jason, he was going to be cool for their first meeting. Maybe beg forgiveness for taking his place or ask for his autograph or something like that, but he definitely was going to make a better first impression than being beaten up and sobbing his eyes out on multiple occasions. This was just a practice run to get all that stuff Bruce called touch starvation out of his system before he could embarrass himself in the afterlife. Jason was certainly helping with that goal, rubbing his bare hand up and down Tim's neck, into his hair, then down to his collar again. If Tim were a cat, which had nearly happened during a run-in with a magician a few weeks ago, he would have been purring in happiness. Dream, Jason. It must have been Tim's subconscious, putting his hero's aged-up face on a body so much like Bruce's. Bruce didn't hold him often, because Tim wasn't his real kid. But when he did, when he forgot that Tim was just a fake, his hugs felt solid and secure just like that. Tim closed his eyes, not passing out, but not caring enough to follow what was happening. They must have been going upstairs at one point, because Tim bounced slightly with each step, and then Jason's gait evened out until it stopped suddenly. There was a click of a key in a lock, and then again, and again, and again, because apparently there were a lot of locks, and then they were moving again. "I'm going to put you on the bed, shrimp," Jason said as he carried Tim further into the house, apartment, into another room. "You had shitty bandages and no ointment, so I've got to get those off you and wrap you back up before those bandages start to stick." Tim whined in incoherent annoyance. That sounded like it was going to hurt, and Tim was having a mostly good dream, and good dreams weren't supposed to hurt so much. His head was already throbbing and felt like it had been stuffed with cotton. Jason just sighed and sat Tim down on the edge of a creaky mattress. Jason tried to pull back, but Tim clung to him stubbornly. No. This was a good dream, and Jason was going to cuddle him if it meant he had to spend the rest of the dream wrestling his subconscious into submission. His stupid dream gave Jason super strength and Tim noodle arms.
Jason lifted Tim's arms carefully from his shoulders, then flopped him onto his stomach, making his head bounce against the pillow. Tim groaned in pain when his brain felt like it bounced against its skull. His eyes were clenched tight, but he could feel how the world was spinning around him so fast that he nearly threw up. "Tim?" Jason asked hesitantly, poking the back of Tim's head with a finger. Tim groaned again and pulled away. He couldn't move far before he felt like he was going to throw up again, so hopefully Dream Jason got the hint to not do that. "Your head hurt? Your dad hit it pretty hard," Jason said slowly. His hand touched Tim's head again, parting through his hair but also pushing his face into the pillow, striking that exact balance between well-intentioned and extremely annoying. "Mmm," Tim moaned as he flapped a hand to try to find Jason's arm so he could pull it into his own, where it would actually be comforting and not painful. "You sound pretty out of it," Jason mumbled, more to himself than Tim. "Stay put, baby bird." The bed creaked and shifted as Jason stood, and Tim groaned again, reaching out without looking for his hero. He couldn't leave. Tim could be good. Tim's fingers brushed Jason's sleeve, but he didn't have time to grasp it before Jason stood up. Jason's heavy retreating footsteps rattled in Tim's head, and his eyes prickled with tears of pain and rejection as his dream quickly spiraled into a nightmare. His head hurt, his back hurt, his dad hated him, and Jason was leaving. Tim pressed his face deep into the pillow, wondering if he'd just wake up in the real world if he were to suffocate, or maybe he'd just fall asleep. Even if he didn't, at least the pillow numbed the pain of the light and sounds as it molded around his face and ears. Just as he was beginning to despair, never waking up and being stuck, pained and alone in that dreamscape forever, Jason's footsteps slunk back into the room, quieter than before, with the hiss of socks on wood instead of the clunking of his boots. Tim relaxed with a slight sigh. Maybe it wasn't a nightmare after all. "I'm going to sit you up so I can get those bandages off you and check you for a concussion," Jason warned Tim when his feet stopped in beside the bed. Concussion? Jason thought Tim had a concussion? He didn't wait for another one of Tim's extremely eloquent responses that time. He scooped Tim up, propped him against the headboard so that his uninjured neck and shoulders could bear most of his weight, then stabbed Tim's eyes with stupid, blinding light. Tim blinked and looked away with a betrayed cry, and Jason whistled. "Hell, kid. That's gotta hurt. Might need a head scan," Jason sighed. Then his deft fingers pulled off Tim's sweatshirt and shirt and brushed up against Tim's sides as they slowly unwound the bandages. Jason had been right and a bit too late. The blood from his cleaned wounds had started to congeal and dry in the fibers of the bandages, wrapping into them so that pulling the bandages off felt like pulling off a layer of skin with them. When the bandage started to catch, though, Jason placed a warm, wet washcloth against the spot for a few minutes until the blood had been loosened and Jason could pull the bandage away with ease. "He do this to you often?" Jason asked after a long silence. The bandages were almost halfway off. Tim nodded slightly, enough that he didn't have to talk, but not enough that it would hurt his head, then yawned. His dad did beat him fairly often, though it was much more now that his mom was dead and his dad was in town more often. Bruce had gotten close to noticing several times in the last few weeks. Jason growled under his breath. "Bastard. You should have let me kill him, replacement." Tim whined in protest, giving the slightest shake of his head. "Not placement." Jason snorted and kept unwinding the bandages in silence for a few moments. "How long was I dead before he found you? Before he gave you my costume and my place at the table?" There was bitterness in that voice, pain and betrayal that Tim knew very well himself. "Bruce didn't..." Tim had to gasp for breath at a catch. Jason hissed and pressed the washcloth into it, making it sting even worse. Everything hurt, and he was so tired from that little taste of sleep he'd gotten in the car. The concussion felt like it had settled in, and none of the adrenaline... Was it adrenaline in dreams? From before was helping. "Find me? I knew. Made him take me." "You knew," Jason scoffed and pulled back the washcloth so he could give the bandage a cautious tug. "You mean you just walked up and told him, I'm your kid now, and I know you're Batman." Tim frowned heavily and opened his eyes with great effort, because Dream Jason was being stupid and needed to know that. I'm not his son.
Me neither, Jason chirped, but he didn't sound happy. He sounded sad and angry, and that wasn't even true.
Bruce loves you, Tim argued. Nearly killed himself.
Jason paused as he pulled the last of the soiled bandages away.
What do you mean he nearly killed himself? B seems more the type to take any pain he might have felt out on everyone else.
Kept getting hurt. Reckless. Too much.
Made a PowerPoint. Tim closed his eyes again and leaned forward onto Jason's shoulder.
Talking was hard. Balance was hard. Thinking was hard.
That's why I'm Robin. Batman needs Robin.
So he replaced me. Jason scoffed, even as one of his hands came up and wrapped tightly around Tim's shoulders. Might not be your fault, but he still replaced me months after I died. Tim groaned in annoyance and pain.
No, don't be stupid, Jason. I'm tired. My head hurts. I don't want to talk so much. Bruce needs a Jason, not a Tim. Bruce isn't Batman. Batman is... My head hurts.
Jason tensed under his body, and if he said any more stupid stuff, Tim was going to... He didn't know what, but he was going to.
Jason sighed and leaned Tim forward so he was lying on his bare stomach on the scratchy comforter. He didn't say anything more, which wasn't good, but it was better.
Jason unzipped something, probably his first aid kit, which was a weird thing for a dead boy to have, but oh well. After a few more moments of silence, Jason used his fingers to massage what felt like antibiotic ointment onto each of the gashes. Tim did his best, but he still hissed and bit his lip at every touch.
There, Jason said at last, and Tim was hoping that meant done. It did not mean done, and maybe Tim preferred Jason when he was dead and not being a jerk.
Jason placed gauze pads on each of the wounds, using the ointment to glue each pad to Tim's back. Even the light pressure on the welts hurt, and he was sure his entire back that wasn't bleeding was bruised.
Next, Jason sat Tim up again, the gauze pads pulling awkwardly as they slid down his back at a glacial pace. Jason quickly began to wrap Tim up again in new bandages that felt thicker and better quality than the ones he had in the first aid kit Steph had given him for Christmas. Still, being upright hurt his head, and the new pressure on his back hurt the cuts and bruises there. At least Jason was letting Tim keep leaning into his arm for comfort and support. Finally, Jason was apparently satisfied, because he shifted Tim off his shoulder and helped him lie down on his stomach again.
There. Got some more sleep, baby bird, Jason said, petting Tim's head again, gentler that time. It wasn't shoving Tim's head into the pillow or making his head hurt worse. It was just nice.
Tim hummed in approval as Jason carted his hands through Tim's hair. He was so warm, so present, so not dead. Everything Tim wanted to leech from Bruce or Alfred or Dick after a bad beating, but there he was, even if it was just a dream, being pet and cared for by Jason. Tim yawned and nestled farther into the blankets, but didn't actually get under them. That seemed like way too much work, even if he was cold. Jason's hand left his head and returned a moment later to pull a throw blanket up over Tim's shoulders. It wasn't actually very warm, but it was very kind. He closed his eyes, and every muscle in his body turned to lead like a switch had been flipped. The bed shifted as Jason stood up, but instead of getting into the bed and staying, he started to walk away. Tim cried out before he could even process it. Jason couldn't leave. He'd just done that, and he couldn't leave again. Jason turned back at his wine, and Tim forced his eyes to open again so he could scowl at Jason properly.
What? Are you dying?
Jason was frowning, but then something seemed to occur to him, and his mouth twitched up into a smirk.
Don't worry. I know a guy.
Don't go, Tim tried to order, but it came out as a mumble.
Jason snorted and moved to stand up. You'll be fine. Just get some sleep. I'll figure out what I'm doing with you later.
Tim's eyes welled with tears. He was being too clingy. Even in his own dream, he couldn't get what he wanted without it driving everyone away. his own hero, resurrected just to save Tim, metaphorically, couldn't stand him.
Why are you crying?
Tim's breath hitched, and he had to fight back the sobs.
No one ever stays. It's okay, you can go. I'll be fine here.
Tim broke down, turning his face back into the pillow so that maybe Dream Jason wouldn't see how completely pathetic he was, and then never come back. A hand was set on his head so fast it was nearly a slap, pushing Tim's head farther into the pillow.
Please stop crying. Jason sounded a bit choked.
Just like he'd probably choked when he was dying, alone, in Ethiopia. Where even was Ethiopia? Was that in Brazil or Rhode Island? Jason was blown up in Rhode Island?
You died. Now you hate me.
Tim cried harder, but the words were muffled by the fabric his face was being shoved into.
I don't hate you. But he hesitated, because he did hate Tim and was just being too polite to tell him,
because everyone was always too polite to tell Tim what it was that made them hate him so much, so he could never fix it, so everyone was just going to hate him forever.
Yes, you. A massive yawn took him off guard,
and when it was done, he didn't have the energy to fight anymore. It was already too late.
You know, I'm a bit tired, and this is my bed. Jason said after a moment.
He wanted Tim to move? Tim could maybe get up if he left most of his internal organs behind to lighten the ship, but then Jason would have a liver in his bed. And a spleen. And Tim liked his spleen. Jason grabbed under Tim's shoulders and pulled him up against his body. Tim melted into the hold, soaking in every last drop he could before Jason dumped him on the floor or carried him to the couch. Jason used his other hand to push back the blankets. And Tim didn't understand what was going on until Jason sat down on the bed and laid back with Tim lying on his broad chest. Jason was staying. Tim was staying. Jason wanted him. Jason pointedly did not look Tim in the eye as he bent forward to pull the blankets over them. Tim just stared at Jason and his reddening cheeks in stunned awe. Mustering more strength than even Superman had, Tim wriggled a hand free of the blankets and poked Jason's cheek. It was hot. Jason Todd was blushing. Tim snickered and sniffled, ignoring Jason's grumbling, and snuggled down so he could pillow his head on Jason's shoulder.
You got snot on this pillow, Jason accused, as he lifted his head and flipped the pillow over.
But he couldn't have been that mad, because he put his hand on Tim's head and pet him, giving him a brief scratch behind the ears before flinching and going back to petting.
I hope you're happy.
And Tim was. Tim was very happy,